So we're going to continue our sermon series looking at traditional hymns this morning and reminding ourselves that we really do sing our faith, whether it's on Sunday morning as we gather for worship or listening to the radio as we're driving to work or, as Jessica pointed out, singing in the shower. The songs that we sing testify to what we believe, and they also offer us a roadmap of what it's like to lead a Christ-centered life. Last week, we talked about our freedom in Christ, and you all were encouraged to live like you're loved and act like you've been set free. So I hope that you enjoyed your homework last week, and we'll pursue a different thought this morning. Our thought this morning and our concentration and focus will be on God's creation. Both the earthly creation that we live in every day of our lives, and also to remember that God also created the heavens. Now, here on earth, we can look, but most of us have never been there. We do live in a place where we do might have neighbors, and we might have acquaintances and friends who actually have been to space and have seen this earth we live on from that perspective. We don't live far from the Johnson Space Center, and this is, I know you've seen in the news that we're ramping up to celebrate the 50th anniversary of men walking on the moon, those first footsteps of the Apollo program. Some of you, at least, are old enough to have experienced that at the time and gathered around your television on July the 20th, 1969, to watch a pretty grainy picture of Neil Armstrong stepping off that ladder and putting his foot on the moon. I am fascinated by space travel. I rarely missed an opportunity to watch a launch or a splashdown on television. I'm so grateful to live so close that I can go visit and see the Space Center whenever I want. So this event 50 years ago was pretty special to me. It amazed me that the moon I could see that was no bigger than my thumb, there were men walking around up there. But since then, many people have been to space. It's pretty commonplace now. And some of those people who have been to space have considered the heavens and the earth and concluded that God had a hand in all of that creation. James Irwin, it was one of the astronauts that was in the later Apollo program. And he said that seeing the earth while standing on the moon changed his perspective of God. He said this about looking at the earth, that the earth was a beautiful, warm, living object that looked so fragile and so delicate that if you touched it with a finger, it would just crumble and fall apart. Many of you know John Glenn, who was the first person to orbit, the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962. He had an opportunity to go back to space in 1998 at the age of 77. And so when he got back from that second mission, he said to reporters, he said this, "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith." And then finally, Tom Calvin, who was also an astronaut on the International Space Center, Space Station, agreed that being in space offered him a different perspective of his relationship with God and God's relationship with creation. And Tom credited God with as being the creator and the one who keeps it all working together. He described his experience by saying this, you see yourself as a much smaller part of the universe. You see the stars, more of them than you ever saw before, and you realize that you're a pretty small thing in a pretty big place. Somehow it all works together harmoniously. And that's the perspective that our scripture takes this morning, that creation works in harmony, and we're just one small part of a very much larger creation story. Psalm 148 offers us a much needed reminder that it's not always just about me and Jesus, that our life of faith includes God's larger creation and our relationship to it. In this psalm, the focus is on encouraging and invoking and even commanding that all praise God. From the heavenly bodies to the angels to the sun and the moon and the wind and the thunder and the lightning and the snow and the hail and the trees and the mountains and the waters and the sea monsters and the birds and the human creation. As you listen to this psalm, try to imagine your own experience interacting with this creation. Just as Jessica suggested to the kids, how does a star praise God? What does it sound like for the ocean depths to praise? How might a bird praise God? I'm not really good at writing poetry, but I'm grateful for the people who have that gift. And that's what this psalm is. It's a poem. It stretches our imagination to think about creation, to consider that all living things can and should and do praise God. So listen to the poetry in this psalm. And imagine a place where all of creation is singing a song of praise. So this is Psalm 148. And it goes like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted, for his glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I imagine that many of us listened to that psalm and our thoughts went immediately to the creation story as it's told in Genesis. The story of how creation came to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But this psalm is more of a description of how things are now, how God is continuing to create. And the first thing I notice when I read this psalm is the abundance of non-human praise to God. Praise that never ceases. Praise that fills up all time. With the moon and the stars praising at night and the sun praising during the day. Praise that fills up all the space from the highest of heavens to the ocean depths. Everything praises God, from the greatest and most majestic mountain to the smallest bird. And everyone praises God, from the kings of the earth to the old and young alike. All of creation praises God because God has created them and given them a place to be. All of creation is commanded to praise God for what God has done. This psalm helps us remember that we are just one part of that bigger creation. And there's a lot going on in heaven and earth that we have no clue about. Just think about, just for an example, the sounds that your dog can hear that you cannot. Or think about the amazing eyesight of an eagle that sees things that we could only hope to see. Or all of the light waves and sound waves that we need instruments to detect. So I think it's really possible that the non-human creation praises God just fine, even though I'm not really sure what that must be like. Maybe when all of creation praises God, it's more like a choir. So you can think about the rustling wind and the rumbling thunder and the stream flowing and the birds chirping and the frogs croaking sort of in harmony with each other, like a praise band for God all the time. That is certainly the way the composer of our title hymn saw the world. The hymn that we're focused on is called All Creatures of Our God and King, and it was originally written by Giovanni Bernardin around 1226. You might know this man very much. You might know him by his more popular name, Saint Francis of Assisi. But this Giovanni, he was born in 1882 in central Italy into a wealthy family. And he was expected to grow up and enter into the family business. But before he joined the family business, he joined the army. And it was while he was a soldier that he was captured and made a prisoner of war. And after he got out of his time for prison, shortly after that, he started to believe in Jesus Christ and had to rethink the direction of his life. He rebelled against the wealth of his family and took on a life of poverty. And he began to travel around in the countryside, just preaching the gospel and living simply and seeking to make Christ real for everybody he met. And you all know that St. Francis is very well known for his love of animals. He treated animals like they were his brothers and sisters. Not equal to humans, I mean, he knew that, but still part of God's good and beautiful creation. In one famous story, Francis is said to have preached to the birds, instructing the birds to be thankful to God for their beautiful clothes, for the fact that they were independent, and for the fact that God cared for them. It's said, according to the story, that the birds were still and quiet as he walked among them and only flew away when he gave them permission to leave. In another story, there was a wolf that was attacking people of a town and killing them. So the townspeople were very ready to eliminate this wolf. But St. Francis intervened and asked them not to do that while he also talked to the wolf and told the wolf to stop eating people. The wolf, it turns out, became a pet of this town and was no longer, and then the townspeople always made sure that he had plenty of things to eat. St. Francis wrote a poem that becomes our hymn, and he wrote that poem about 1226. He had just discovered that he was terminally ill, and he was headed home to be with family. On his way home, he stopped by a monastery to visit with friends, and it was there, in that quiet place, that he wrote this hymn, this poem, describing all of how all of creation praises God. It was based on the psalm that we read earlier. He called it the Canticle to the Sun. He died in that year, about 1226, and the poem never became a hymn until almost 400 years later. And then it was translated into the form that we see in our own hymnals about 1919, when a pastor in England needed it to be sung at a children's worship festival. Today, we remember St. Francis for his faith, for his simple living, and for his love of all of God's creatures as his brothers and sisters. He is the beloved patron of the animals and the natural world, and it is customary in many places to hold a blessing of the animals on his feast day, which is October 4th, in remembrance of his love of all animals as brothers and sisters. You know, I have to wonder how St. Francis got to the place where he could be so at one with creation, to feel like he could sing praises with his family, brother sun and sister moon and all of the creatures of the world. And then I have to wonder how we might come to a better understanding of our place in creation, so that we might join and be a part of this song of praise. I really think that humility is going to play a huge part in helping us see our true place in the world. Psalm 148 is a good place to start, not only for St. Francis, but also for us. Because when we read that psalm, it is clear that even though we're an important part of creation, we are not in the center of it. Those astronauts had a great vantage point, and many of the way that they're quoted, it's clear that they reached an understanding of their place in creation. But you and I don't have to go to space to feel small. I don't know about you, but I've been in places where nature takes over and the beauty or the vastness or the power makes it clear that we're only a tiny, tiny part of this world. Where have you been that you have felt that? What has been your experience where you are sure that you are a small part of the world and the world is much, much bigger? When have you been humbled by creation? I am so grateful to my parents who hauled their three daughters across this country and visited many national parks during the summer so that we might experience the beauty of this country. I love the beach here in Galveston, but there is nothing but humbleness to stand on a California beach and try to stand up straight when one of those powerful waves comes ashore. Or in the Colorado Rockies, when there's this breathtaking view from the trail that just sort of stops you in your tracks and made me, because that was my experience, the forever caboose when we were hiking They just made me last. It was easier. Or in the Smoky Mountains, to experience the power of a thunderstorm. To lay in your sleeping bag in the middle of the night and listen to the wind whistle come through the trees. And to feel the ground shake from the power of thunder. Or to have the inside of that tent light up like day because of the lightning. That display of nature's power makes you feel small. And we can't help but get that perspective if we will simply leave our living rooms and step outside. When creation takes our breath away, we are in a much more humble position to praise the one who's responsible for all of that beauty. But we don't have to go to space or even stand on a mountain to experience God's creation and to offer praise for that. Offering praise for creation should be something that we do every day, wherever or whenever possible. One of the ways to do that is to simply pay more attention to the world around us. Praise God for what you see when you wake up in the morning and look out of your window. Praise God for what you see when you're driving to work. And even in these hot summer months, praise God for what you can do outside. Last Thursday, I was so grateful for the gentle breeze and the beautiful sunset as we sat to wait for the fireworks to go off. Last Thursday. Now that I'm thinking back on it, that experience was like sitting in a chorus of praise. We were sitting in Bay Street Park and paying attention to the world around us. We could see people praising God and the families that were laughing and playing together and the birds that were flying so beautifully across the water and the fact that we were sharing conversation with precious friends or the fact that the clouds were so pretty on the sunset. I really wish I would have snapped to the fact that this was God's creation singing praises. And it's only because I had to think about it for the sermon that I realized that that was a good example and an opportunity to praise God for the creation that was singing around me. The second thing is that our humility in the midst of where our place is in creation should move us to acknowledge our interdependence with the rest of creation. We share this planet with lots of living and non-living things. And in order for everything and everyone to be able to praise their creator, we need to continue to respect and protect the creation that we live in. Sometimes we need reminders not to be so very self-centered. As I said earlier, my family spent a lot of time in national parks, and the National Park Service is charged with two responsibilities. One, to preserve and to make available these spaces for public use and enjoyment. And the other is to protect and preserve the ecological and historical integrity of the park. So they take that role pretty seriously. And one year we were hiking above the tree line in Colorado. And there were signs that warned us not to get off the trail. Because damage done to the tundra up there would last for hundreds of years. And in my head I went, yeah, right. Except that they also included a sign to point to some tire tracks that you could clearly see that went across the tundra that had been made years before. Without that warning, I don't think I would have believed that any of my simple actions of walking off the trail was going to destroy something for hundreds of years. But here was the evidence that my self-centeredness, my casual response to, oh yeah, right, to the warning, was not the proper thing to do. Our actions do have an effect on our world around us. And so we just need to remember that we live in a fragile and vulnerable place, and how we interact makes a difference. We have a responsibility to the rest of creation. So here's your homework for the week. First, pay attention to the world around you, from the highest of heavens to the earth below. What do you see in the sky? What do you see out your window? What creatures do you meet? What can you give thanks for? A beautiful sunset, a full moon, a perfect rose, a sleeping baby, a playful dog, joy on the faces of your grandchildren. Don't ignore these invitations to praise. And then second, consider your impact on the world. And in all humility, really think about what you do affects the environment around you. How might you acknowledge and respect and protect that creation? What might you start doing or stop doing to show that respect? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created, and it continues to create. This beautiful world that we live in is fragile, and it's a gift. All of creation sings songs of praise. And may we just be reminded to blend our voices in praise to God so that we are in harmony with the rest of creation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.